Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I am thankful to the Lord this morning that I see something building in this church that's been missing. And that's love. It's starting to grow. Amen. I think in the past, and I just have to be honest with you, that there has been a lot of mutual respect and a lot of honoring each other, but the real thing that's been missing is love. I'm talking about loving one another in the Lord. And I see that starting to grow amongst this people. And that's an exciting thing for me, because that's what it takes, folks. Until we love ourselves, love the Lord, and love each other, we can't love a lost and a dying world. Turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians. I want to share with you the thoughts that the Lord has laid upon our heart. In Philippians chapter 4, and begin reading with verse 10, I'd like to read just two or three verses of Scripture. And I want to get right into the message. The Lord being our helper, we will be as brief as we possibly can. But we also want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God and say everything that the Lord would have said here this morning. Because I believe that we are living in an important time. And we're living in a time when we need to be attentive to the moving of the Spirit of God. And I believe God is doing things today that He's never done before. I believe there have been things shut up in the past that are starting to be revealed in these last days. And if we study the Word of God, it should never surprise us that those days that were talked about by the Lord are finally here. Stand with me this morning, if you will, as we read the Word of God. Stand in the presence of the Lord this morning and read His holy word. How many of you believe this is the word of God? Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, begin reading with verse 10 and onward. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, I thank you for the blessed Word of God that we have been reading in your presence and in our presence and in our hearing this morning. And I ask you now, as we look into thy blessed Word, that you would anoint these lips. And Lord, use me this morning to say that would be pleasing in your sight. Help me, Lord, to preach the message that you have given me today with the power, the unction, and the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. And we will glorify you and praise you and honor you for the results. For it's in Jesus' blessed, holy, lovely name we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again. I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's a question that God gave me yesterday I really wasn't even thinking about the message when the Holy Spirit pointed this question out to me. But I want to ask you this, is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind? Now let me repeat that. is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind? Now, a lot of people, I think, can answer that in the positive. Those that are looking forward to going home to be with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord throughout eternity, could probably look at that in the positive. There are a lot of people, though, in this world that are not so sure that where they're headed is worth leaving what they've already got. Consumer confidence in this country has sunk some 16-year low right now in this nation that we live in. Things are in a mess. There's gloom and doom on every hand. Everybody sees inflation. Everybody sees home prices going down. Gas prices going up. Seem like everything's in a mess. Stock market's falling. Anytime the stock market begins to fall, everybody panics. You see, the stock market is ruled by greed and fear. When the stock market is going up, everybody invests because they're greedy and want to make more. When it's going down, they get afraid and start selling everything off because they're afraid they're going to lose what they made while it was going up. So it's true. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed in life that greed and fear rule a lot of people's lives as well. It's not just the stock market, but a lot of people operate their life on those two principles, greed and fear. So job losses and floods and fires and disasters are going on all around us. But God said that was going to happen before He came back. That would be a sign of the end time. Times are rough. I don't know if you know that or not. But rough times are not necessarily hard times if you know in whom you believe. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You see, what I've found out is even in the hard times, even in the rough times, when things are getting rough, God's still always able to work all things to good to them that love Him. I found out that the Lord can work everything to your good, even when the whole economy around you and the whole situation around you look like it's going into the pit. God can bring you out. How many of you know that? Question is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind? Have you ever felt like that you were living in a spiritual or emotional vacuum? You were living in a desert. Nothing was going right. I think I've been there a few times. I don't know about you. Nothing's happening. You can't get a prayer through. It seems like God's a million miles away. Everyone else around you seems like they're getting blessed. God's touching them and anointing them and using them, but you can't feel anything. You ever been there? I've been there. But most of us, as God's children, know the key word that will bring the presence of God to us. It's all through the book of Philippians. I believe the book of Philippians is actually based on that word. And Paul used that word in verse 10 of the scripture I just read you when he said, I rejoice. If we will learn to rejoice in good times and bad times, if we learn to praise God and honor God and give God the glory in the good times and the bad times, we will start to learn that God can do all things, or we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. God is still with us. God has never left us. It's when we begin to feel sorry for ourselves and begin to have self-pity that God seems to go a million miles away. Actually, God never leaves us and never forsakes us. But it's our attitude that sometimes brings us to that point of feeling like nothing's happening for us. Back up to chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. And let's just look at a couple of verses of scripture there. I want to share with you something, and I want to. Philippians chapter 1, begin reading with verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing this letter, he said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Paul began by rejoicing and thanking God and praising God. Although it wasn't necessarily the fact that he had seen the people at Philippi in a while, the reason he was writing them a letter is because he wanted to set some things straight, and one of the things that he wanted to teach them was how to rejoice. Verse 4 says, "Always in every prayer of mine, for you always making requests with what? With labor, with burden, with a heavy heart." No, with joy. God needs us and wants us and desires us, even when we make our requests and bring our requests to him, to always have rejoicing or a spirit of joy in our heart. And even in the hard times, even in the rough times, when it looks like everything around us is going down, if we can rejoice, if we can praise God, if we can honor God, God is going to carry us through. Look at verse 5. "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "I'm confident in you. I rejoice in you that I believe that no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, no matter what has confronted you, you're always going to stand with God, because God began the work in you. He's going to perform the work in you from the beginning to the end." There was a time when the church at Philippi supported Paul's ministry, and then hard times came, and they couldn't support him anymore. But now he's writing this letter to say, once again, you started supporting me because good times came. And Paul said, "I have learned to rejoice and praise the Lord whatever state I'm in. Whether I'm driving a Rolls Royce or a Model T, don't matter. I'm still going to praise God. Whether I'm living in a mansion of 16 or 18 or 20 rooms, or living in a shack beside the railroad track, as long as I got God on my side, everything's going to work for good. Everything's going to come out all right because I've got God." I'm here to tell you this morning, children of God, that it doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter who we put in the White House. As long as we'll stand with God and rejoice in his presence and rejoice in who he is and what he is to us, everything's going to come out all right. There might be dark clouds around us, but the light will still shine. Amen. Paul is rejoicing in the scripture that I read you this morning because of the kindness of the Philippian believer. What did verse 10 say? "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were all so careful, but you lacked opportunity." Was Paul only concerned about his physical and financial needs being met? I think not. Did he rejoice solely because he was being taken care of again? I think not. Paul knew a truth we need to be aware of in our own life. Paul knew that these believers had a heart to worship God. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning, as long as you can rejoice, as long as you can worship God, the presence of God is going to be with you. How many of you know there's a difference between a service like we had this morning, where the presence of God was here from the get-go all the way through till right now, and those services where we come in and we have a form of godliness and we go through the motions of worshiping God and nothing happens, it's dead and you don't get anything out of it, and you leave in worse shape than you came? I'm here to tell you this morning, if we will learn to rejoice and praise God in the good times and the bad times, God's going to walk with you every step of the way. The only reason that it feels like he's moved away and not with you anymore is because of the attitude that you get. He said, "I'll go all the way with you, even to the end of the world." Proverbs 11:25 said, "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." What is he saying there? He's saying what Paul said. He said, I rejoiced in you and I prayed for you when you supported me in the beginning. I rejoiced in you and I prayed for you when you couldn't support me because you didn't have opportunity. And now that you've started again, I'm still rejoicing and still praying. Paul's attitude toward the church at Philippi never changed. When they did support him, he rejoiced in them. When they didn't support him, he still rejoiced in them. How many of you know that we have this tendency to rejoice with people as long as they rejoice with us? Bruce said it in his testimony. We love people because they love us. We support people because they support us. You see, God's love is unconditional. You don't have to even love Him back for Him to love you. But we know only one kind of love within ourselves, and that's, you're my friend because you love me, you care about me, you're concerned about me. And we're that way. But if we have the love of God in our heart, we can love the unlovable. We can rejoice even when they don't support us. We can rejoice even when they talk bad against us. We can rejoice when they're condemning us. We can do good to them that despitefully use us only if we allow God to do it through us. See, that's what Paul learned. Paul learned to rejoice in whatever state he was. Paul was, look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now, I didn't say this was an automatic thing that's just going to come to you, and that's the way it's going to be when you get saved. Listen to what he said. I have learned. Takes a process. I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. If you're making $1,000 a week, be happy with it and praise the Lord and worship God with it and share it with others. If you're only making $100 a week, praise God for it and honor God with it and let God have the glory and the praise. And God will walk with you and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, whether you're rich, whether you're poor. God is no respecter of person. He will honor those people who honor Him. See, Paul knew that truth. Paul was rejoicing because of their giving to his ministry. But it wasn't absolutely a necessity for him. Paul was confident that whatever condition he was in, he was going to be happy. He was going to be honored. He knew that whether they supported him or not, he was not relying on them. He was relying on God. He was relying on the Lord Jesus Christ to meet all his need. How many of you know the scripture said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Let's look at that word all for a minute. Is that most of your needs? Is that some of your needs? My God shall supply all of your needs. The word all means all. It's all inclusive. All too often, I'm afraid that the reason we can't rejoice always is that our rejoicing is connected to our physical or our emotional or our financial state. As long as we're healthy and we're working and the finances are okay, we can rejoice. Just praise the Lord. You get sick, get out of a job, the bill collectors start knocking at the door. What am I going to do? My God, I can't pay my bills. I can't work. I'm sick. What am I going to do? My God can heal you. My God can supply your finances. Why did you leave God? Why did you back away from God in the times of trouble and heartache? Why don't you rejoice in the times of trouble? Even when the enemy is attacking your very soul and your very being and your very estate and everything that you have, why can't you rejoice? Even then, because God hasn't left you. God's still with you. But if we base our worship and our rejoicing and our praise of God on our physical condition or our emotional condition or our financial state, I'm assuring you here this morning, you're going to be up and down like a roller coaster. Because when the good times are going on, you can praise the Lord. When the bad times are going on, you can't. Paul had learned something you and I have to learn. Thus, whatsoever state I am, I'm going to be happy with it. I'm going to be content with it because I know God's not going to leave me. He learned that he could do all things through Christ that strengthened him. He had learned that whether people give to him or not, whether people supported him or not, whether they backed him or not, whether they acknowledged he was doing a good thing or not, Paul could do all things as long as he rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ and walked with the Lord and was obedient to God. That's what he had learned. Bible said in John 15:5, very interesting scripture, says, I am the vine, Jesus speaking. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, where we get here is that we can rejoice as long as things are going good. If it gets a little tough, we take over and try to figure it out on our own. God, that's the worst thing in the world you can do. I've tried to figure it out on my own. It don't work. And you have to. Every one of you. Look at John 15:6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. So our secret is abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, no matter what the circumstances around us. You know what? I don't care if the stock market goes down to 5. I don't care if gas goes to $10 a gallon. If you're rejoicing in the Lord and you're doing what God wants you to do, if God needs to do it, He can make oil bubble up in the middle of this floor. God created this thing, folks. Why would we turn our back on Him in the hard times? Why would we leave behind the very protection and the very supply that He's offering us? My question to you this morning is, where you're going worth what you're leaving behind? You need to think about that. Look at Philippians 3. Paul had an amazing testimony. I don't know if you realize that or not. I just want to read you 4 or 5 verses of Scripture. This is the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Philippians, and listen to who he was. Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, he said, I'm more. He said, if anybody, thinks that they can trust in their own intellect and their own ability and their own thinking and their own reasoning to get through this, he said, if that's true, I'm better off than all of you. Why? He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul was a very educated man. He lived the very letter of the law of the Pharisees. He followed the Pharisaical law to the T. He said, I was blameless in that. Paul was an educated, devout man in his religion. But God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus one day. How many of you know that? But what things, listen to me. Listen to what Paul said. He had learned something. He had learned to trust God and not his own intellect. He had learned to trust God and not his own ability. He had learned to trust God and not his own teaching or his own education. And listen to what he said. But what things were gained to me, My education, my ability, my intellect, my perfect keeping of the law. He said, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul had learned that no matter how smart you are, no matter how conniving you are, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how educated you are, there's one thing better than all of that, and that's to know and follow and stand with and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, because my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. So the question is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind? You see, Paul had learned we can't do anything in our own ability, in our own charm, in our own effort. The Lord must be our source. He must be our strength. He must be our anointing. We can't find this kind of peace that Paul found if we put all of our trust in anything other than Jesus Christ. We need to learn to ask God to produce in you a thankful, rejoicing heart. And to produce in me a thankful, rejoicing heart. We need to learn to enjoy God's grace being poured out, and not only on our behalf, but we need to learn to rejoice when God pours it out on others. We need to learn to rejoice when we're not getting the blessing, somebody else is getting the blessing, because God's with us. There's one other thing that I need to throw in here, and it's a vital key to this. Lastly, we need to pray that God would help us to become givers. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. What drives the stock market is greed. What drives us as a church should be our ability and our desire to give. Amen? Jesus said that. It's more blessed to give than to receive. The spirit of the spirit of covetousness is broken by generosity. The spirit of greed is broken when you learn to become a giver. Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you know what that means? It's more blessed to be able to reach in your pocket because you've got the money when somebody's in need than it is to always be in need. I don't want to be in need. I want to be able to give. And if you begin to sow into the ministry of the Lord and into the gospel, how many of you know the Bible said there's seed, time, harvest? So if you're sowing in January, there's going to be a period of time and you're going to reap. Maybe April, May, June, whenever you need it. And February, June, July, August. March, September, October, November. It's a continuous thing. It's not just... See, most people think the Bible said give and you'll receive. They get into a needful thing. They have been following their own ability, their own thinking, their own desire, and all of a sudden they're in trouble, so they think, well, the Bible said give and I'll receive, so I got to give $100. And then they sit there waiting. Well, the Word of God don't work. I give a whole $100 and I didn't get nothing back. Seed, time, harvest. Continually. Paul said, I rejoice in the Philippians when they supported me. I rejoice when they couldn't support me. I still rejoice when they start supporting me again. Seed, time, harvest. Are you getting this? Praise the Lord. When we understand God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory, we'll be set free from what's going on around us. It won't matter what's going on around us, because we will have sown seed in due season. We will reap if we faint not. Amen? I want to share this with you this morning. You think about this one. If I'm walking in faith, I'm not looking for sympathy. Let me repeat that. If I'm walking in faith, I'm not looking. They don't get touched, or they don't get their needs met for one reason. You know what that reason is? They come forward more for sympathy than they do in faith. What they're really saying when they come forward is, oh, you know, things was going pretty good, and then I got cancer, and then I lost my job, and then the medical bills started going up, and you just don't know what I've been through. You just don't know. I've heard it all. You don't know how hard it's been. Oh, yes. God knows exactly what's going on. But as long as you're looking for somebody to get in the boat with you and feel sorry for you, you're not going to get healed. You're not going to get delivered. When you come forward in faith and say, the devil has attacked me, he's attacked my finances, he's attacked my health, but I know and I'm going to put my faith in Almighty God, in His deliverance, in His healing, in His ability, and I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to find out that whatever state I am, sick, well, rich, poor, it don't matter. I learn to rejoice and trust God. Then you're moving into an area where you can get touched. You can get delivered. But if you're walking in faith, you're not looking for sympathy. You don't need nobody to feel sorry for you. I had somebody ask me here a while back. I don't even remember who it was now. It's been a while. It doesn't matter who it was. They said, what are you doing over there preaching to that little old congregation of people? I said, because that's got where God put me, and I'm satisfied right there. He says, you ought to be preaching to 5,000 people at a time. I says, I am. 25 in the congregation and 4,900 something angels sitting around listening. Amen. You know what, folk? We need to learn to be content. The world is driven by greed and fear. God's people don't need to be driven by greed and fear. We need to be driven by faith and rejoicing and praising God, no matter what the circumstances. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So if I'm walking in faith, I'm not looking for sympathy. See, faith is the corresponding action that puts a demand on the power of God. Do you understand that? Faith and its corresponding action puts a demand on the power of God. Was it James that said, you got faith and I've got works? Show me thy faith by thy works. If you have faith in God, you're going to follow God in the good times, and you're going to rejoice in the good times. But when things get rough, you're going to follow God in the rough times and rejoice in the rough times. Faith, and put the action behind it to back it up. We can come in here tonight in this church, and we can leave the lights off, and we can get on our knees before God and cry till midnight. Lord, give us some light. We need light in this church. We can't see, and the darkness is coming. But the light, the power to these lights is right back there on that wall, and those lights. Well, we can pray all night, and it'll be dark when the morning comes. Or we can get up off our knees and go back there and in faith flip those switches, believing that when we do, the power is going to come through that switch into these lights and light's going to come on. That's the same way with God's power. It's available to us, And we can whine and worry and feel sorry for ourselves all we want to. But when we put a demand on that power, guess what's going to happen? The results. The power of God is always available. The power of God to heal, to deliver, to touch is always there. Faith and its corresponding action put demand on the power of God. So faith is what moves God. Pleading and wailing and crying and begging is not going to work. Faith, flip the switch, that'll work. So the question is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind? I can tell you today that if you're going into greed and concern and worry and frustration and you're nervous and you're all tensed up and you don't know what's going to happen next week or next month, I'm telling you, you're going in the wrong direction. But if you're here this morning and maybe you're even in financial or physical trouble, but you got your faith in the Lord and you're rejoicing in the Lord, then you're headed in the right direction. So if where is where you're headed worth what you're leaving behind you to go there? Because there's a price. And my God, if you want to leave all your troubles and heartaches and all those things behind you and take up faith in God and rejoicing in God, that's great. But if you want to go the other way and get into greed and fear and all of the things that come with that and walk out on God, then don't blame God for leaving you because you left Him. You see, folk, listen. The rougher things get, the closer we ought to get to God. Because that's our source. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You say, well, we took Aunt Betty to the preacher and first we took her to the doctor and he said she had a terminal illness and she's 89 years old and we didn't know what else to do. We spent all our money and we took her to the preacher and he laid hands on her, prayed for her and she died. Praise the Lord! If she was a Christian, she's better off than you are. There is an ultimate healing. And that's when the Holy Spirit taps you on the shoulder and says, son, it's over down here for you. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If I believe that, I can walk through this world no matter what happens, Brother Tapley. No matter how rough it gets, I can rejoice in the Lord, knowing He's walking beside me. And He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. I've gone to prepare a place for you. When I get it prepared, I'm coming back to get you. My God, what else? What other promises do we need? So don't worry about who gets in the White House. Don't worry about where gas is going. Don't worry. You know, people worry about the silliest things, and 90% of what you worry about never comes to pass anyway. Bird, if you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. As she comes to select a song to sing this morning, maybe you're here, and maybe this message was for you. You've been really wrestling with some things in your life here lately, and God has been speaking to you this morning. Folk, don't worry about tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, and I trust that you do. And if you've been wavering in your faith, this would be a good morning to come and just get before the Lord, and you and Him talk it over and get things worked out. Recommit your life. Rededicate your life to God. I'm here to tell you today, the only hope we got is Jesus. This world's in a mess. but then God said it would be in a mess. This world's going down, but then God said it would go down. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned to be happy when I'm in need. I've learned to be happy when I'm abounding. I've learned to rejoice. And that's what it's all about. You see, I look around me this morning at you as a congregation of people, and I know nobody has to tell me. I just know that through the natural process and order of things, there are some of us here today that probably, if the Lord tarries his coming, may not be here next year. I may be one of them. But you know what? That's all right with me. Because I'm ready. I know who holds my hand. I know who I'm walking with. I have the peace of God down in my heart. Oh, certainly I would regret, in the flesh at least, not being here to see my grandchildren grow up, share life with them. But you know what? I have a desire. I've got so many friends and loved ones that over the years I have seen them go on to be with the Lord, and they have left a testimony that tells me that someday I'm going to see them again. A mother, brother, a sister that have already gone, and many dear friends, and I know that you do too. So if you're here this morning and God is speaking to your heart and you need to just reconfirm things between you and the Lord, this would be a good time to do it. I want us to stand to our feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. Christians, pray. And if God's not speaking to you about something, you pray. If God's speaking to your heart, slip out of your seat right now and come. Get before the Lord.